high fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by AutoTrader. Credit scores, down payments, interest rates. Car buying can be a numbers game, but you don't have to be a math expert to get the keys to your dream car. Just use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. You can crunch the numbers so you know exactly how much you'll pay each month for your car. So leave the calculator at home. Visit AutoTrader.com to learn more.
This holiday season, Lexus wants you to remember. Nothing feels as good as making others feel good. Those so-called feel-good holiday films? They can't hold a gingerbread-scented candle to the feeling of giving them something that gives them all the feels. Make this December one to remember. Together. Click the banner to discover more. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
From Belly Up Sports and the Belly Up Podcast Network, you're listening to the Sports Stove Podcast with your host, Vince Stover.
Welcome in to a new edition of the Sports Stove Podcast. Today, I am joined again by my dad, Dale Stover. We are going to be talking about baseball. We're continuing our Major League Baseball preview. Today, we're previewing the National League West Division. And then we're going to talk some college basketball and some NFL football and a slight touch of UFC right before we get into the baseball preview. Dad, how you doing?
Doing good. Good.
I'm surprised to hear that. Dad is an Illinois fan. I wouldn't call you a major Illinois fan anymore, but still, I'd say that's your cheering interest. And we are recording this on Sunday afternoon. The only game to be completed so far is Loyola Chicago versus Illinois, where Loyola wins 71-58, and it just kind of continues the plunge of the Big Ten. It seems like so far. Let's start with the Big Ten. We've got eight teams that made it, nine teams that made it,
nine teams with the play-in. Michigan State was there.
Yes, nine teams that made it. Already four teams out. Wisconsin is trying to fight back against Baylor as we record this. They're down 8 with 11:53 to go in that game. But Ohio State, a number 2 seed, Illinois, a 1 seed, Purdue, a 4 seed, all eliminated, 2 in the first round, Illinois in the second round. So I would say overall we could categorize the Big Ten as a disappointment to this point in the NCAA tournament. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yeah, that was very true, because they've had the big upsets as far as the high ranks going down from there. They've had some solid play on some of the, Maryland and Rutgers. Of course, we'll see how that comes on in the next round, but that's not the teams you were counting on. Iowa does look strong. We'll see about that in Michigan. But as far as having nine in there and the teams that have gone out so far, I'd say the Big Ten is disappointed in their tournament showing for sure.
Yeah, Rutgers and Maryland, I think they were both 10 seeds, right?
Maryland was a 10.
Yeah, and Rutgers was a 10.
Okay.
As well. So they're both 10 seeds beating the 7 seed. I don't consider a 10-7 win a massive upset, but they did both win those games. I think Rutgers was a favorite, but I could be wrong in that. Then Purdue, of course, the 4 seed, lost to North Texas. Wisconsin beating North Carolina, that one surprised me. I thought North Carolina was looking good coming into the tournament, but they dominated North Carolina in that game. But yeah, that Ohio State loss, that was kind of the first big one of the weekend. Oral Roberts defeating Ohio State, a number of brackets busted immediately with that one there. But then the Illinois loss today, I mean, I had Illinois going to the championship. I had them winning the championship in my brackets, and that kind of shut me down for that as well. So now the hopes are all on Michigan and Juwan Howard, maybe Iowa, of course, as well, as they'll face off against Oregon. Oregon hasn't played yet. VCU had to drop out because of COVID stuff. So Iowa versus Oregon, do you think it's better to have a game played, or do you think it's better to be fully rested for Oregon?
Probably to have a game played, but I don't know that it'll hurt them from that standpoint. Iowa, you know, Iowa's solid. Looks like their team that doesn't get flustered, and they've got the star. I mean, you know, he's going to be consistent all the time. They're going to, you know, Oregon's going to have to handle him and go from there.
2-11 seeds, one in the first round. UCLA defeated BYU. Syracuse beat San Diego State. I had the UCLA game picked over BYU, but I did not have the Syracuse one picked. One number 12 seed, one Oregon State over a crippled Tennessee. We never trust Tennessee in the tournament. Then 2-13 seeds, Ohio and North Texas beating Virginia and Purdue. We have a Virginia fan in our church. I was consoling him today. And then a 14 seed, Abilene Christian beat Texas. And 15 seed Oral Roberts beat Ohio State. So now you're looking at, you know, they still have a chance to win games to, in this second round. But usually by Sweet 16, getting into the Elite Eight, these double-seeded, the 11s and forward, don't tend to go much further than that. So which of these teams that had the upsets, Abilene Christian, UCLA, Ohio, Syracuse, Oregon State, Oral Roberts, North Texas, do you think has the best chance to continue forward and go deeper in the tournament?
Well, you've got, let's see, I'm looking here to be sure, but you got two of them playing each other, don't you? UCLA?
Oh, yeah. UCLA is playing Abilene Christian.
Abilene Christian. But again, you would think UCLA would probably handle that. I think North Texas will have a shot against Villanova. Villanova's been up and down all year. North Texas, you know, I know a little bit about just because they're in a conference that I follow a team in that conference a little bit, in Conference USA. So I knew they were good, but didn't know really anything about them from there. And so I would think they have a shot with Villanova. And, you know, almost anybody does at this point. Nobody's been totally dominant. I don't think any of them, you know, you can say, oh, I know they'll go on a ways, but we will see. You know, easily the ranked teams could stay going from here.
Yeah, I like both the 11 seeds, UCLA against Abilene Christian and Syracuse against West Virginia. Syracuse looked pretty solid. So I like both of them. I've got originally had UCLA making the Sweet 16 anyhow. So, but I had them beat Texas, and they don't get a chance to play Texas. So they better make it past Abilene Christian. But nonetheless, an exciting first weekend of basketball on the NCAA tournament. Anything else that stood out to you in the first round?
No, I think it was it's been a good start to the tournament. I think both for fans and for television, anytime you have 10 upsets, in the first 32 games, that's good and that's exciting. And there have been some very close games, several overtime games. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, there have been their share of blowouts early too. But I think the tournament's created excitement at this point. And, of course, now it's going to go into a different realm a little bit. We're playing during the week on a Monday night and then next week on a Monday and a Tuesday. But, again, I think keeping it moving is probably a good thing.
Yeah, that Santa Barbara-Creighton game was really fun to watch. The boys and me were watching that one, getting excited on that one. But, yeah, I think good basketball so far. I expect to see good basketball moving forward. I do think these leaders, the Baylors, the Gonzagas, Houstons, the top seeds, Bama, Michigan, I think in the end you're still looking at them being in the Elite Eight, Final Four. But we'll see. Definitely moving forward. Right now, at this recording, Baylor's back up a 10-point lead over Wisconsin. But, of course, who knows what will happen. We'll record all this. I'll be talking nice things about Baylor, and then they'll be gone. But, anyways, that's college basketball on the men's side. Let's move on to the NFL. Free agency still in full swing right now. A couple big signings. I'll let you go first, Dad, on some signings that you liked or were intrigued by in the NFL free agency period.
Well, I think the one yesterday with the Giants probably really helped them. You kind of wondered where Galladay was going to go. And I mean, that, again, if Barkley's healthy and you got a potential for a quarterback, you know, now he's got a weapon, and they've got some other good receivers. I think that could be a really good pickup. A lot, like you said, a lot of movement, a lot of teams helping themselves, even on the offensive line and around. I saw today an interesting stat where the Patriots have paid more for free agents here than their franchise cost when it was purchased. So they really went out and spent. The Jets, you know, hopefully have helped themselves, have spent. I was very intrigued that the Bears have found their franchise quarterback.
Andy Dalton.
Yeah, didn't think that's probably where that would go. And but again, you know, being a Packer fan, it's the Bears, and you never know what's going to happen there. But that was a little surprising. And he says he's been guaranteed the starting job. So,
well, I would hope so. I mean, yeah, I like Andy Dalton. I don't think he's a superstar quarterback or anything. I think he would have been a great fit in Washington if they weren't going to go out and get somebody big. He could have been the piece to help with them. Put him in Chicago. I mean, Chicago still has some decent defensive players, although they've cut a few guys as well. That's definitely, and especially when they were in the conversation for Russell Wilson. Yeah, that's a big letdown for Chicago fans, Andy Dalton. But I really do like Andy Dalton. I think he'll do better than Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky in Chicago, which reminds me, Trubisky goes to Buffalo to back up Josh Allen. I think that's a great spot for him, an opportunity to grow a little bit on the bench in a good organization. Kenny Galladay joining New York is suddenly stacked on offense. I mean, they've got Saquon Barkley coming back from injury. They've got John Ross, Sterling Shepard. I think they still have him. Darius Slayton in there as well. They've got Evan Engram, the tight end. They signed Kyle Rudolph, the tight end, also. So they're building quickly in New York. The Broncos signed Kyle Fuller. Thought that was a good signing, the cornerback that Chicago got rid of. The Steelers re-signing Juju to a one-year contract really surprised me, because they said there were three or four teams that offered him more money than what Pittsburgh did, and he wanted to go back to Pittsburgh. You know, I don't see Pittsburgh as a team on the rise right now. What do you feel about the Steelers right now?
Well, of course, you got – I would agree. I don't think, you know, they're deep as far as in the future. You got Roethlisberger coming back. So if he stays healthy, you know, and Juju is a one-year contract. So, I mean, I think there's a chance to think they'll have a good year this year. That division, though, is getting better, is part of the issue there. That's a pretty tough division where, like I said, the Giants are getting a lot stronger, and they're still not – you know, that's a fairly weak division. No matter what Dallas says.
Yeah. the Giants definitely getting stronger. Vikings, they signed Patrick Peterson. The Washington football team, they bring in Curtis Samuel and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't get the Ryan Fitzpatrick sign. Washington is a quarterback away. I mean, they really are. They've got a running game. They've got incredible wide receivers. They've got a great defense. They need a quarterback. I assume they're going to go draft one unless they really like that. Tyler Heineke guy, but that one surprised me as well. The Chiefs, they cut two of their starting offensive linemen. They signed two linemen as well. Kyle Long, who came out of retirement, and Joe Thuney from New England. So they bring those guys in as well. And then you said it, the surprise of the free agent world so far, Isaiah Wilson, recently traded from the Titans to the Dolphins, cut. What, 3 days, 4 days on the team?
Three days into it. You know, you just don't understand a guy like that. But he goes to Miami. He's late for his physical. He's late for the team orientation. Then he skips two workouts that he promised he would be at. And then he refused help from the team as far as they were trying to give him some guidance. So you don't understand that one at all. I mean, you'd like to think there's some physical ability there, but I mean, I wouldn't see anybody would take a chance on him again now.
No, I mean, he could look at some of the other leagues out there if you wanted to. You've got that fan-led football team that Johnny Manziel's at and Josh Gordon's in as well. You've got the CFL, you've got the XFL that's coming back next year, but at this point, he has just proven that he just will not do what he needs to do to play. And it's sad, really, when it comes down to it. Very sad. Any other NFL news?
No, I, like I said, you know, a lot of flurry there in the free agent market. Probably a little more than I expected because of the cap situation. And, of course, as Packer fans, we're still waiting to see what's going to happen in a couple things there. But now, you know, the draft's going to be interesting because things are kind of set up. You know, who needs stuff in the draft? You know, a team with a lot of draft picks that did not make a splash in free agency was Miami. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it'll be the draft will garner a lot of interest as it probably would have anyhow.
Definitely, definitely. Quick thoughts on the UFC. Former guest of the Sports Stove podcast, Harry Hurricane Hunsucker, had his UFC debut Saturday night against Tai Bam Bam Tuivasa. 4 days' notice, Harry Hunsucker took this one, and he gets knocked out in 49 seconds. He did get a few good licks in on the fight, but those leg kicks that Tuivasa gave him early kind of crippled him early, set him up for defeat. But Harry reported today that that fight did earn him a UFC contract, so he's going to come home back to Richmond, Kentucky. He's going to get kind of healed up, get some time to recover, and then they're going to give him a full fight camp and an opportunity to fight again in the UFC. So congratulations to Harry Hunsucker. We're working on getting him back on the show and also interviewing him for the MMA show that I host on Saturdays on Belly Up Fantasy. But congratulations to Harry Hunsucker. He's willing to take a fight anywhere, anytime, he says, but it's not great for his career. So I'm thankful that he's going to get a full fight camp and a chance to prove himself in the UFC in the way that he deserves a legit chance. He was on Dana White Contender Series, had 2 days' notice. He took that fight. Almost won over Jared Vandera, but almost knocked him out. But he ended up getting a ref stoppage there. And so I'm happy for him that he gets the opportunity to fight in the UFC. All right, let's move on to baseball. We're continuing our MLB preview. We have gotten through the American League Conference, so make sure you can go back and listen to past episodes with that. Today we're talking about the National League West. Originally said National League East, and for whatever reason I forgot and completely prepared for the West. Thankfully, Dad, you were ready to go on this. So that's what we're going to do. Diamondbacks, the Rockies, the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Giants. Here we're going to start off with the Arizona Diamondbacks. They have one key loss in outfielder John Jay. They bring in new additions as Drubal Cabrera and relief pitcher Joaquim Soria. Their projected lineup is second baseman Ketel Marte, right fielder David Peralta, first baseman Christian Walker, third baseman Eduardo Escobar, catcher Carson Kelly, shortstop Nick Ahmed, left fielder Dalton Varsho, and center fielder Tim LeCastro. Their pitching rotation is currently set up as Zach Gallen, Madison Bumgarner, Luke Weaver, Caleb Smith, and Merrill Kelly. Their projected win total, 74.5. That is projected to be fourth place out of five in the division. Interesting, I thought they bring in as Drubal Cabrera, but they don't have a designated hitter this year. And Christian Walker's kind of a more younger, up and coming first baseman, I suppose, than Cabrera. So I'm not sure how that's going to fit in for them. Maybe Walker plays a little third base or something else. But anyways, what are your thoughts on the Arizona Diamondbacks for the 2021 season?
Like I said, you know, they're slated to be fourth, and that's probably about right. I mean, I don't think doesn't look like, you know, preseason like they have the horses to contend. And it's that way with several, you know, we're going to see several in this division like that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, they didn't make a splash at this point, and they're against a couple of really strong teams in their division.
Yeah, I mean, the NL West is top heavy for sure, and you have a few bottom feeders, and Arizona definitely seems to be one of those bottom feeders as well. It looks like their pitching is relatively strong, but they don't have a lot of depth, and their batting probably isn't good enough to compete this year either. But there are some fantasy players on this team, at least I think so. What do you think about fantasy value guys for Arizona?
You know, I mean, again, there's a few, not necessarily a lot. Of course, Marte, You have him, Zach Gillen, and like you said, they have some pitching, but you know, he's one that is ranked pretty high, and then Walker at first base. But you know, not a lot there. Again, I think there'll be a team like we talked about last week that you'll watch as the season starts and see if, you know, there's somebody, and somebody will get hot with them.
Yeah, Ketel Marte is one of my favorite guys. I've tried to get him different places and have not really been able to get him at this point. I really like him. He leads off in the order as well, so he gets a lot of opportunities there. Christian Walker, he's a late round guy. He gets overdrafted sometimes. He hangs down there with your stereotypical first baseman that you can kind of pick up throughout the season when a guy gets hurt a lot of times as well. There, Gallen and Bumgarner, still, you never know exactly what he's going to give you from pitching, but he's the kind of guy that I like to go with later in the drafts as well. A guy that's proven, and if he doesn't do well, I just drop him and pick up somebody else. But something to watch for, and I hate that we're in the same league and I'm giving you all this intel, but Dalton Varsho, he's an outfielder. He is eligible as a catcher and an outfielder, and he's going to play outfield all season. So he'll eventually lose that catcher eligibility. But right now, on most fantasy platforms, he has dual eligibility, catcher and outfielder. So he might be a value guy just because you can play him at catcher, if need be, at least for now. So, you know, we'll see what kind of number he puts up, but definitely got to watch for late in drafts and as a guy that can add some flexibility to your lineup also. Let's go further down in the division to the Colorado Rockies, not geographically down, but in the standings down. They had some big losses this year. Of course, they traded third baseman Nolan Arenado. They lose David Dahl, Tony Walters, and Kevin Pillar. They didn't really have any major additions. First baseman CJ Krohn comes over. The projected lineup, Raymel Tapia, Ryan McMahon, Trevor Story, Charlie Blackman, CJ Krohn, Sam Hillard, Josh Fuentes, and Elias Diaz. Their pitchers, German Marquez, who I really like, Kyle Freeland, Antonio Senzatella, John Gray, and Austin Gomber. Their projected win total is at 64.5, last in the division as well. Colorado really took a beating in the last couple of years, it seems like, and losing Nolan Arenado, that seems to really hurt, I think, this team. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, they'll have to. I mean, you know, they're going to have to do some kind of rebuild. I don't know what kind of minor league system. You know, I don't know if they have a lot of prospects coming up, but yeah, again, they're in a tough division, and they're just. Yeah, it doesn't look like there's a lot there. So,
yeah, I mean, Blackman's older. He's been pretty dependable for him as a bat, but he's getting older. Story's phenomenal. But outside of that, they're really hurting. It seems like I said, I really like German Marquez, the starting pitcher. Been a big fan of his. But when you're talking about fantasy things, the pitchers in Colorado is dangerous because when they're at home, it's a batter's park for sure. What are any fantasy values you find in Colorado?
Well, I mean, one guy that you don't know but seems to be a good prospect is Tapia, the outfielder. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, he's a guy that you can take a chance on. Again, you know, not going to be on a strong team, you know, he seems to be one you would look at along with Blackman and a core Story.
Yeah, I mean, hitters in Colorado, when I'm picking up free agents for injured guys or whatever during the season, if I see that there's a guy getting ready to play three games in Colorado, I'll go ahead and pick him up and play him for those three games and then cut him and pick somebody else up. It's worth having some batters in Colorado. So if you can't get Story or Blackman at a good value, yeah, guys like Tapia, even McMahon a little bit as well, I guess, but he's something you got to watch. And I think Marquez is probably the only pitcher I would take at this point. They do have a prospect pitcher that should debut earlier in the season, maybe around June or so. His name's Ryan Rollison. He's supposed to have quite the stuff. And if he comes in, John Gray, I don't know why he's still pitching. To me, he's not a good pitcher. Never understood why anybody liked John Gray, but nonetheless, I'm sure he's a nice person. I don't know him personally, but Ryan Rolison should come in and compete for start of the rotation somewhere fourth or fifth in the rotation when he finally debuts. Okay, let's go to Los Angeles, the Dodgers. They had some losses. Kiki Hernandez, the second baseman, Jock Peterson.
It's wintertime. When temperatures go down, the likelihood goes up that your furnace and other appliances go down with them. So don't risk a costly replacement. Stay comfortable with coverage on the appliances you depend on most with the Service Guard Appliance Repair Program from Black Hills Energy. It's peace of mind in a plan. Visit blackhillsenergy.com/signup to learn more.
Hi, I'm Maria.
And I'm Mike. And we're
Team Ready. Black Hills Energy knows your home is where your heart is. So they want you to be ready.
It's all about keeping you safe, prepared, and making your home as energy efficient as possible.
Everything from how to weatherize your home to how to stay safe during extreme weather.
Be ready for anything. Go to blackhillsenergy.com/teamready.
The outfielder, Alex Wood, the pitcher. They had an addition to their starting pitcher rotation in Trevor Bauer, one of the most intriguing personalities in Major League Baseball. A little crazy, a little off his rocker, but projected lineup, Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, Justin Turner, Cody Bellinger, Will Smith, Max Muncy, AJ Pollock, and Chris Taylor. The rotation, Clayton Kershaw, Trevor Bauer, Walker Buehler, Julio Urias, and David Price. Their projected win total is 102.5. That's for first in the division. All right. Well, let's talk about the Dodgers before we get to the fantasy stuff. I mean, it's the Dodgers' show to win, right?
Right. It is. I mean, they're strong. They've been strong for a while. You know, they had their key losses. I don't think was anything major. I mean, you look at their lineup. You know, they've even got some deep guys that aren't starting or can't, you know, don't play every day. They obviously have the flexibility if you're going to back guys against lefties or righties to be able to do that and do situation type things. You know, could have just a very strong pitching staff. if everybody, you know, Buehler comes back well and everything there. So, yeah, it's definitely theirs to win. You know, again, it'll be keep everybody focused and everybody together, but the talent is sure there.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like we're headed for a Dodgers-Yankees World Series, and I'm not sure who can get in the way of it right now, which is kind of boring, but nonetheless, it's there. Fantasy value. So what I do, I'll show you my paper. Of course, if you're listening to the audio, it won't matter. But I don't know if you can see that. Yeah, so I break it down like this, and then I've got my fantasy value underneath all the other things written. In that little box, I have typed out everyone. So instead of telling me who's the good fantasy picks in LA, is there anyone that you'd say, that's a guy I'd stay away from?
No, the tricky thing about LA is, like you say, you want people lead off guys that are going to bat a lot. Now, again, the Dodgers may score enough that, you know, the guys that are 7-8, they may get a lot of at bats, but there's some guys who have great potential, but they're not high up in the lineup. And because of their strength, there's a little more platooning going on. It's a little harder. I found when you have Dodgers to keep up with who's going to be off. You know, you really got to keep an eye on that. Now the top guys, you know, not going to be any question about that. Yeah. With Betts and those guys all there, but as far as Bellinger and all those guys, that's the tricky part with the Dodgers. You're going to have talent, so as long as you got enough people in your lineup that you can survive, you know, a guy either being, and even these guys when they don't start usually come in and play and get an at bat or two. So it just depends. That's the only probably tricky part, is there's some really good players. How much opportunity will they get?
Yeah, and with Hernandez and Jock Peterson both leaving, that kind of frees up a little bit of space. The way that I've read it, at least, the second base could still be a little bit of a platoon with Chris Taylor, but Taylor will also play shortstop for Corey Seager to give Corey Seager a day off. So someone else comes in at second base, Taylor goes over to shortstop or different things like that. So yeah, they're definitely, they're the, probably the one team that I would say the the 6, 7, 8 batters are still worthy of being drafted. It's just a when you get them. You don't want to overdraft for them right at that point. The pitching staff, same way. Kershaw, Bauer, Buehler, Urias, and David Price. I mean, I don't think there's a better five. We'll probably talk about the Padres next. They're probably close, but not as good. I mean, that's a pretty solid starting rotation when right you're talking about Major League Baseball pitching. Even in fantasy values, I very rarely would get a number five guy in the rotation unless it's a young prospect that I'm just kind of taking a chance on. David Price pitching fifth in the rotation, he's still worthy of a late round draft pick, someone that can give you some decent numbers and maybe five or six innings at least. Mm-hmm. So I've got a couple things written down for that too. Walker Buehler, who I know you really like. Of course, he played at Kentucky, so there I see a lot of stuff about him as well. His value seems to be a little overvalued right now, I think, in fantasy baseball. Getting drafted higher than maybe he should be. His stats and numbers match up a little lower, not much lower, not drastically lower, but a little lower than where he's being drafted at right now. So to me, like you were talking about with the Dodgers, I think it's easy to kind of use them as a pawn, expecting other people to draft them where you can still get same or better value below these guys where they're being drafted, just because they're the Dodgers and you know the names. You know, you don't know the name of most, you know, 7 and 8 batters in the lineup, but for the Dodgers, you know them all. Max Muncy's a guy, he's going to get more regular playing time. He was a guy that platooned a lot in the past in LA, but he should be more consistent this year. And he's getting drafted pretty low in fantasy leagues right now. So he's a guy to watch. In our league, I believe he was kept. I don't think he's even available, but we can keep 9 keepers. But in the other drafts, it seems like he's getting passed by a lot. He could produce some good value for sure there. Let's go to the Padres. Key losses for the Padres: Jason Castro, the catcher, starting pitcher Garrett Richards, and then designated hitter Mitch Moreland, or first baseman, I guess, Mitch Moreland. They brought in some pitching in the offseason. Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, and Joe Musgrove all will be in the rotation. Their projected lineup is Trent Grisham, Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, Eric Hosmer, Tommy Pham, Will Myers, Jake Cronenworth, and Austin Nola, the catcher. Their rotation is Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, Joe Musgrove, Chris Paddock, and Adrian Morejon. Their projected win total is 94.5, which is 8 behind the Dodgers for second place. I really, really like this Padres team. The talent level they have seems to be incredible. What are your thoughts on the Padres?
When you look at their young talent, they have a chance to be really good. Mm-hmm. They're going to be a team that will have to develop, that will need to play up their potential, but they've brought people in here. So again, if they can play as a team, their talent level is really pretty good. You know, you look at the Dodgers and you think, wow, that's something, but yeah, they're not far behind. So.
Yeah. You look at the bats that they have. I really like Trent Grisham. I think he's super talented in center field. Of course, Tatis and Machado. Hosmer needs to play up to his ability. I feel like last year he was down a little bit, but he's a guy that he has the potential. He's got to play up to it. Tommy Pham and Will Myers the same way. These are guys that have played in the league now for a while. They had high expectations, and if they fulfill those expectations, they're going to be an incredibly dangerous team. Then you look at that starting rotation, 3 new pitchers on the team: Darvish, Snell, and Musgrove. Darvish was one of the better pitchers in the league last year. Snell has been great. Joe Musgrove doesn't excite me. Chris Paddock, though, is really good, who was already in San Diego. And then Adrian Morejon as well in there. What about fantasy guys? I just kind of went through the whole team again, but the fantasy guys for the Padres that you like.
Well, a name that I saw a lot, but apparently is not in the starting rotation, is, I don't know how you pronounce it, but Lamet or LeMay.
I think he's hurt.
Hmm?
I think he's injured.
Okay. That'd be it, because again, they talked about he has great potential coming in. But yeah, if he's out a while, then that'll be that. You have all your main players. Again, this is one where if you need positions, later to fill. You know, they've got a couple outfielders there with Myers and is it Pham?
Yes.
And again, you know, Nola is a decent catcher. This is a team that you can look to fill spots middle, late of the draft.
Yeah. So Lamet is not injured. I have him here as the sixth guy, which would really lean him more into the middle rotation, I guess, as well, middle reliever. But I don't know. That could change. Obviously, these are not official official things, and that could change for sure. They also brought in Mike Clevinger last year, I think, but he's injured. He had Tommy John surgery, so he's going to be out all of this year. Drew Pomeranz is on the team. He's an interesting guy as well, being brought in. Also, and they lost a lot of relief pitchers in the offseason. Kirby Yates, one of those guys. Trevor Rosenthal as well. But it seems like they've got a pretty solid team. If they can be healthy, health might be a big issue with them this year. I like Austin Nola a lot, too, at catcher. He's a guy that you can usually get pretty good value on in your drafts. Let's see here. Grisham, I already said. I love Grisham. Cronenworth is a guy I like. I had him last year at times, off and on throughout the season last year. He is the second baseman, lower in the batting order, but he can provide some stats for you as he's hot and things like that. So good guy to watch. And then Darvish and Snell, I mean, two top pitchers worth having. And Chris Paddock, I think, is pretty decent as well. All right, that brings us to the lowly San Francisco Giants. They're projected third right now in the division from my official numbers, 75.5 game win total. That's one above the Diamondbacks. Key losses, Hunter Pence, Jeff Samardzija, both of them been longtime Jets, and both of them gone. I don't think either of them are on a team right now. I'm looking real quick to see. No, I think they're both free agents still, but I'm not sure. Both of them gone. They bring in the second baseman, Tommy La Stella, and starting pitcher, Anthony DeSclafani, something like that. Their projected lineup is Tommy La Stella or Evan Longoria at third base. Second baseman, Donovan Solano. Right fielder, Mike Yastrzemski. Left fielder, Alex Dickerson. Catcher, Buster Posey. First baseman, Brandon Belt. Shortstop, Brandon Crawford. And outfielder, Mauricio Dubon, who has some flexibility, can play multiple positions. Starting pitchers, Kevin Gausman, Johnny Cueto, Anthony DeSclafani, Aaron Sanchez, and Logan Webb. And like I said, 75.5 win total. You're a Giants fan, Dad. Do you have any expectation for this team?
It's wintertime. When temperatures go down, the likelihood goes up that your furnace and other appliances go down with them. So don't risk a costly replacement. Stay comfortable with coverage on the appliances you depend on most with the Service Guard Appliance Repair Program from Black Hills Energy. It's peace of mind in a plan. Visit blackhillsenergy.com/signup to learn more.
I mean, again, I don't know that they can compete with the Dodgers or the Padres. And again, if once they start having injuries, they'll really be hurt. But in their lineup, they've got a couple of young guys that you mentioned. You know, the third baseman, it could be Longoria, it could be the other guy. And there's a couple of spots like that where, you know, these guys could look good. Giants are, like I said, I like the Giants, but they're a team also that you want to keep an eye on because they'll have at least two or three players that'll at least have hot streaks, maybe not all year from there. I think the Giants could be a little more competitive, but I don't know if their pitching staff is where it needs to be. And, it'd be interesting to see. I think they're about, middle of the pack here in the spring training and the preseason.
Yeah.
I see they get some wins every now and then. So,
yeah. They had prospect came up last year when Buster Posey opted out of the season, Joey Bart, but he really didn't perform like people thought he was going to. He was a big pickup in fantasy leagues. People were going after him, especially in dynasty leagues and things like that as well. But he never really was able to pan out to what they were hoping he would be. So he might come up again if Posey or Brandon Belt get injured, Bart can come up and play catcher or first base as well. I'm looking to see they're 7-9 in spring training. So they're kind of that lower middle of the pack right now in spring training. But what about some fantasy value guys on this Giants team?
I mean, only a couple of guys that are kind of safe probably is Yastrzemski. You know, he's continued to do well. So he's a guy that, you know, be worth getting, you know, again, not early, but probably high middle. And you read different things here. You don't know how good Gossman's going to be, but he's their number one pitcher. So, you know, he'll be a guy that'll go after that. Probably most of them will be guys you'll look at to pick up early. Might take a chance on one real late in the draft, just to, you know, a prospect somewhere.
Yeah, Brandon Belt's a guy to keep an eye on. I think Posey's kind of past his fantasy value at this point. But we'll see. He's had a whole season off, so maybe he's fresh and he'll come out and have a crazy good year. Gossman, if you like strikeouts, Gossman's your guy. He gives you a good strikeout ratio there as well. Yastrzemski, his batting average is incredibly close to Mike Trout, Cody Bellinger, and George Springer. So if he can get his power up, he's a guy to definitely watch for, a guy that could have a breakout season this year as well. He'll get opportunity batting in the top part of the order, third or fourth in the order there as well. I'm a huge Mauricio Dubon fan. He came over from Milwaukee, so he was in the prospects there in Milwaukee. He played infield mainly in his time there, but now he's kind of going back and forth, I believe, center field center field, and he can play second base and different things as well. But he's a guy that if he can get – he was a prospect with tons of potential. So he's a guy that if he can get it together, and maybe he'll get more opportunities currently in San Francisco, just with them kind of being down right now, that might open the door for him to take off this year as well. But Yastrzemski's a guy that he's probably the guy in San Francisco that you're looking to get. Do you have in front of you what his average draft position is or where he's ranked at overall?
No, I know he's in the top, definitely in the top 100, probably in the top 80 to 75, somewhere in there. Okay. I don't know where he's ranked necessarily as outfielders, but as far as total number is concerned.
Yeah, I'm interested to know kind of where he'll fall in this year, because, you know, he's got the name. And the name always draws a little bit of interest and things like that as well. I'm looking to see if I could find – I'm looking up right now where he's going at. Looks like he's in the range of 112 to 120 as far as average draft position goes right now, is where fantasypros.com has him going, averaging in the drafts. It looks like some other sites have him right around that 100 mark. 105, 101. So he's kind of in that range, right around that 100 mark that he's being drafted right now. But he is a legit breakout candidate this year for the Giants. And he's probably the only guy that I would consider going for in the draft. If I don't get the first baseman I need and Belt's available really late in the draft, maybe I lean towards him because he can give some numbers. But outside of that, yeah, Cueto's past his prime now, starting pitcher. Anthony Scalfini, I'm saying that wrong, I'm sure, but he's an interesting guy to watch. He was in Cincinnati and definitely an option at the very least. Could be a guy that getting another chance in San Francisco can be helpful for him as well. But not a whole lot of fantasy value, at least right now in San Francisco. But like you said, definitely some free agents to watch for if they get hot. And again, Posey, and I didn't really think about this till we just said it, but having a whole year off as a catcher might be really good for him physically. He might be refreshed and ready to go here. Because I think his wife had a kid, I think, last year, and he was, just for the safety and everything, decided to sit out last year with the COVID stuff.
Yeah, he's still got potential. Of course, he's had a lot of power. So he'll probably be a guy that if you didn't take a catcher early and was going to go get one late, depending who's left, you'd look at him just on potential and see how he does, because he's been a great catcher during his career.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, for so many years, he was the top catcher. Like, he was the guy at catcher, and now he has been surpassed the last couple of seasons with him. It looks like he has slid way down. He's number 14 right now in the catcher rankings, according to Fantasy Pros. He's behind Dalton Varsho that we talked about from Arizona that'll be playing outfield. So he's behind him, but ahead of guys like Carson Kelly, Yadier Molina, Jorge Alfaro from Miami, those kind of guys. He's above all those guys, but down in that kind of that dark space in fantasy catchers that you're just throwing it at the wall and seeing what sticks at that point, and probably going to be trading around some guys over that time as well. Will Smith, by the way, with the Dodgers, he's ranked number 3 in catchers right now, which is pretty high. So I wouldn't have thought he was quite that high. That's according to fantasypros.com. I'm sure that varies a little bit, but usually those catcher rankings are pretty similar across the board there as well. All right, so we're saying Dodgers, it's the Dodgers division to win, but the Padres, I mean, I really think the Padres can push them this year.
Yeah, I mean, San Diego definitely has a shot, so should be a fun team to watch.
Yeah, and like you said before with the Dodgers, if they kind of get to this, maybe they're not motivated because they are so good. They may not take it as serious right off the bat and give the Padres a chance to get a hot start. And all you got to do is, you know, if the Padres beat them when they play them, it's going to set them up in a nice spot as well. But that pitching staff for the Dodgers is ridiculous. And so is their batting order. Everything's ridiculous with that. All right. So we got the Dodgers 1, Padres 2, the Giants and the Diamondbacks in some order will be 3 and 4. And the Rockies more than likely go last in the division there. So that is our kickoff to the National League preview with the NL West. So, Dad, I guess we'll go to the Central next and go backwards than what we did in the American League. We'll try to get that out this week. I'm not sure that we'll get it recorded this week or might have to wait till the weekend. We still got high school basketball going on here in Kentucky and got games throughout the week. So not sure that we'll get that recorded, but hopefully we'll be talking with Harry Hunsucker again this week and getting his take on the events leading up to his fight, his UFC debut. And I've been messaging him all weekend, trying to give him some space so he had time to focus and not be a distraction to him. But we've been messaging with him this weekend leading up to the fight and hoping to get him on this week and talking with him as well. So Dad, anything else you want to say? I know last week I tried to give you a chance and the audio cut out, but you wanted to shout out the MTSU girls, but I don't think they're around anymore after this afternoon's game.
No, they had a great first half against Tennessee. It was right there. They were tied. They just weren't tall enough. And, you know, normally they play 8, 9 girls, but they can only play about 6 today in order to try to keep up. And they just, They ran out of gas. I hadn't watched Tennessee play this year, the Tennessee Lady Vols, but you know they look good. And again, they're a lot taller. I think I read that their shortest starter was 6'1", and MTSU's probably only got 2 girls that big on the team. So, but yet, you know, they look good. And you know, again, they got a solid program. He always recruits well, and you know, I know they were excited to get back in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, Tennessee Lady Vols win 87-62. Kentucky Wildcat, Lady Wildcats, they won their game today as well. No major upsets, I don't think, yet in the girls' tournament. The men's tournament, though, Baylor did defeat Wisconsin. Everybody that's listening to this already knows that, but that's another Big Ten team out. So that is 5 Big Ten teams out, 4 to go. Michigan, Rutgers, Iowa, Maryland. That's definitely a letdown for that conference, yes, for sure. But, you know, it is what it is. This is a strange year, so we'll see how all that shakes out as well. All right, so we'll be back sometime either Thursday morning or next Monday. We'll release another episode, one of the two. More than likely, it won't be till Monday. But nonetheless, we've got a great week ahead of us in sports with some more basketball, more football, free agency. There's a huge UFC fight this weekend, a lot going on. So we'll be excited to see how it all goes. Today's episode, by the way, brought to you by Blue Coolers. And we have a link in the podcast notes for you. If you need a new cooler, if you're an outdoors person, you're a fisher, a camper, a hiker, whatever, if you're going to be outside a lot and you need a solid good cooler. Blue cooler is just the way to go. 55 quart blue coolers, they've got more than that, but those coolers are 5-star rated. It's their best product that they, as far as ratings go. 10-day ice retention, 5-year warranty on the parts. Great products. Go to Blue Coolers. Use the link in the podcast notes so that they know we sent you there as well. Thank you for tuning into the Sports Stove podcast today. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.
I'm Maria.
And I'm Mike. And we're
Team Ready. Black Hills Energy knows your home is where your heart is, so they want you to be ready.
It's all about keeping you safe, prepared, and making your home as energy efficient as possible.
Everything from how to weatherize your home to how to stay safe during extreme weather.
Be ready for anything. Go to blackhillsenergy.com/teamready.